All right, welcome TCFL owners and enthusiasts. This is episode 8, season 1. That's actually the 5th now in the series of team analysis shows that we've been doing. Ready to break down another TCFL team and realize for the 5th time how much this team is also better than mine. Toss Tears here once again, joined by the one and only pickup basketball champion, Zula Florida.
Hey, what's up? I took a week off last week. Thanks for having me back now. I love the episode with Mike. That was great.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. And for today, got a very distinguished guest. So, I mean, no offense to my other guest, but he's definitely closer to an A-lister than the rest of us. continues to have a great career in L.A. and Hollywood, which apparently puts ahead of his fantasy team success. It's Barb Dar's team owner. So that kind of sounds weird. But Nick Stanton joining us today. Welcome, Nick.
I am honored to be here. Thank you guys for having me. If I'm an A-lister in Hollywood, I'm probably a D-lister in the.
There we go. Yeah.
But I appreciate you guys having me on. Hear from one of the more mediocre team owners instead of all these past.
This is just like a round of media blitz for you, isn't it? Here coming up with all the other stuff you got going on.
A huge media blitz. Yeah, I'm. I got a big shout out from KLDR.
Oh, sweet.
Now I'm here, and I've been told I'm going to get an interview by the prestigious Redwood Gazette. This is my media blitz.
Sweet. All right. Well, I love it. We'll publish you on iTunes too, so it'll be all about it.
Yeah, I'll tweet it out to my 300 followers. That'd be crazy.
So we just got done talking to your neighbor, apparently, Mike, and he's moved in real close to you, apparently. So, you know, what I wanted to know is, do you have any nice quick stories about him? This is your chance to get back, because he talked a little trash. So,
oh my God, I will have to listen to it. I was going to listen.
Oh yeah,
to it
you got
tonight.
It.
Oh man, all right, we're going to start a flame war. Mike, you know, he's a good guy. He's obviously been a more successful fantasy owner than myself. But yeah, he's a character. You know, I still have in my possession, I believe it's in my bedroom. So there's a Christmas party that used to be held every year. It's not held anymore. And Mike's gift one year, we did like a white elephant exchange. He did a headshot of himself. And then it was he did an album, a self-recorded album. This is just for a Christmas gift. I mean, it took hours and hours of his time of him crooning Christmas songs.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know, he must have spent days on this thing. It was studio quality. And that piece of shit has been making its way around as different white elephants forever. But anyway, I am in possession of Mike's one and only solo album. And I will use that as collateral someday if he doesn't accept one of my trades.
That's amazing.
You know what you should do is add one of his songs onto the end of his podcast.
Oh, yeah. Can you send me one of those? Yeah, I'll edit that right in.
Is he a good singer?
Could this actually be the reason you don't have your Christmas party anymore then?
Maybe.
Nice. You know, the story he told about you, since you haven't listened to it, is something about taking a bet for $10 to drink out of a winery spit bucket. Oh, and I was wondering,
I've taken a lot of regrettable bets in that day. I ate a man's beard for $87 once. That was a bet in the writer's room of the show I was working on. Some guy didn't look like the most clean fellow in the world, but he shaved his beard and they had all the clippings, and I'm just known as a guy who has an iron stomach. I can eat things like that. So yeah, $87 for that. And then, I remember, God, it was a wine tasting thing and everyone was dumping, you know, their stuff into this big wine bucket. And, you know, I was in my 20s and the guy who took bets.
Nice. There goes your political career. So,
yeah.
So, hey, let's get into your team name. Obviously, it's well known to the, to us that are from the area. My question for you is, first of all, why did you pick that and why haven't you changed it?
Well, it's the world's longest inside joke. So for those listeners who aren't familiar, okay, so Barb Dower is, I believe, a sixth grade teacher. A lot of us in the league had her as an English teacher. I think we read Hatchet in her class. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Barb Dower. I like her. But for some reason, in junior high and high school, it became a thing to, instead of saying, like, whatever to something, you would say, yeah, Barb Dower, you know. And I don't know why that was. And, you know, it didn't last for long. But that's what you would say, you know. If someone was doing something dumb, you'd say, yeah, Barb Dower. And I don't know. It just stuck. I bet even in our league, only a few people probably get the reference. But anyway, whenever I chose it 12 years ago, it was the first thing I thought of. And honestly, I've been too lazy to fix it or change it. I actually like it. So.
Well, if it's any consolation, I was telling Alyssa, who's also from Redwood, of course, that we were doing this podcast and with you. And she said, oh, okay. And I said, well, his team name, you're going to love this, is Barb Dower. And I've never heard her laugh so hard.
I think it's a league favorite. I've heard some compliments on it.
It's for sure a league favorite for those from Redwoods.
Yeah.
I'm glad Alyssa.
You definitely have to keep it then.
Hey, I saw your IMDb says you were born in Marshall. Is that true?
It is, yeah. I lived there for the first, probably 11 years of my life.
I didn't know that.
But I consider myself a Redwood person. Okay. That's
all right.
A Cardinal. Okay. But yeah, I was born in Marshall.
All right. You guys had to clear that up. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reason you're doing this whole media blitz, you're talking to KLGR and the Gazette, is because you're being inducted into the Redwood Valley High School Hall of Fame. Tell us how that came about.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored, yeah, to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But I got a call. I was in the office with my writing partner Devin, and a woman called me, Tammy from the Redwood Schools, called me and said, we'd like to, you know, put you in our Hall of Fame. And I was, you know, I was feeling pretty full of myself. And I told Devin how honored he was to be here in an office with such an important Hall of Famer like myself. And then he said, well, you know, if this is anything like a sports Hall of Fame, they only put you in the Hall of Fame when your career is over. It's like, I think we might, maybe these guys know something we don't. You know, we need to start looking for other guys. But yeah, I got nominated. I think Andy Rainier, another TCFL owner, I think maybe put a recommendation in along with somebody else. And you know, I guess I'm somewhat famous. I guess you know, I've written for a few TV shows that have mm-hmm. done okay. So they invited me to come back, and I will be back for the ceremony. I'll give a little.
That's excellent.
Well, that's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah, I think last episode I talked about this a little bit too with Mike, and he was excited to hear about that too. But one thing I mentioned was you're actually in really, really good company because Mr. Dean Toft, father of Zilla Farilla and Toft's Terrors, is also in the Redwood Valley High School Hall of Fame. So joining good company.
I heard that. I saw that. I saw him on the list, and that was great. And you know what? I kid you not. I think actually Barb Dower is in the Hall of Fame as well.
You know what? I think what you need to do is when you're back, get a picture with Barb and Dean if you can, and that should be your team picture then.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So perfect. I guess part of the media blitz then is, you know, coming obviously a pretty close second is your Emmy nominations or nomination. I'm not sure. Explain to me what you're going up for here.
So I created a show along with my writing partner called Prince of Peoria. All the listeners out there should check it out. It's on Netflix. It's a It's a kids sitcom, you know, we're real proud of it. I based a lot of it on my experience growing up in a small Midwestern town, and so yeah, we did 8 episodes. The next 8 are going to drop in May, and we got a Writers Guild Award nomination. We didn't win; we got beat out by a Disney show, but and then we just found out that we got 2 Emmy nominations for Best Main Title Sequence and Best Art Direction.
Wow.
So we're super excited about that. I am actually, I kid you not, I am skipping the ceremony so I can be in Redwood Falls to accept the nomination. Weirdly enough, the two ceremonies coincided, and I said I'm going home and you know, joining Mr. Dean Toft and
Redwood
Falls. That is excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Is there going to be another season of it?
So there's going to be another drop of episodes. Okay. So I don't know if you can see the season, but the final 8, and then the story of the show kind of wraps up. It was sort of meant to be a limited order season, or a limited order show. So I don't think we'll be doing more of these, but although, you know, if the ratings come in,
mm-hmm.
it might batch, and it's the next Stranger Things, I'm sure.
right. Yeah, well, we've watched quite a few of the episodes, so they're pretty enjoyable. So, TCFL guys, will check it out.
All right.
What other big projects are you working on?
What am I up to? So, I'm trying to think what I can share. So, there's a project at Disney based on an existing movie property that. Me and my writing partner have been approached for, and they want to possibly make it into a television series. And so I think I probably can't say too much more than that, but
good things on the horizon though. So we'll be looking for that. Well, sweet.
Exactly.
Well, wish you continued success with that. Let's get into your team a little bit here. Totally pivot, change course. But what I usually do is we talk about kind of what your history is a little bit and go into your strengths and some of your opportunities and trades that you've done and things like that. So I'll just start with some of the history. You finished 5th last year, so made the playoffs, squeaked in at 7-6. Actually had a 3-game winning streak at the end of the season to make it. So there you go. That's kind of the opposite of Zil Farrillo with the huge losing streak to back in. So
I think it was like a 6-game losing streak or something.
Your average finishing position in 14, 15 years of the league is 7.1, which is 9th best. So we can skip right over that. Probably skip over the next thing too. You don't have any championships so far. So we'll have to work a little harder, I guess.
That's a big sore spot with me. You know, I've got no championships and, I don't know if we're calling them the Zippies or not.
You we
know,
are. I think
got
we are.
2 Emmy nominations, but I can't get any hardware from the TCFL.
No. Yeah. Well, there's always, you know, the 2019 awards.
Well, you're just a lot more successful in real life than you are in fantasy league. So.
I guess I was hoping I'd at least get one of the worst trade, awards or, you know, something. I made some pretty boneheaded trades.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Also, you are the, according to this year's keeper rankings, you look like about the number 10 team overall. So probably have to step it up in the draft a little bit, maybe make a deal or two here, or maybe just get lucky with some guys. Who knows?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I don't have a first round pick this year. You know, I traded that away, I have a history. Actually, some of my best players historically, I can't remember specifics, but have come from the later rounds of the draft. If there's one thing I'm good at, and there's not much when it comes to fantasy football, I'll sometimes get a steal. It's usually a USC player, like a Robert Woods or something like that. I have a passing familiarity with. I'll pick him up in a later round of the draft, and it'll turn out to be a good choice.
Yeah, so actually some of your strengths. Antonio Brown. You got to talk about him first. Obviously, he's probably the cornerstone of your team, but he's just got traded. So
he did, yeah. So that could, I'll have to look into it. That could be a good thing. That could be a bad thing. I think in my mind, I have three pretty solid receivers on my team right now. I have a lot of faith in Landry and
Woods. Robert Woods.
Yeah. My other one. I should probably bring all this up. And Robert Woods, yeah, Trojan Robert Woods.
Yep. So well, Woods was a great pick. He was a third round pick, right?
I think so. You'd probably
I think
know
he was a third round pick. And then Landry, he's got Odell there now, right? So he probably was never a number one, but probably really got some good thing going being a number two.
Good value now, yep.
I think so, yeah. So I don't know who I'm going to be keeping. I mean, I'm certainly to any other owners out there. I'm open for trades. You know, I'm not precious to any of those receivers.
Well, AB's right down the road from you now. He's in Oakland, so you have to venture up there for a game and watch him. If you dare.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I haven't even been to a game in L.A. here if I you know, our two teams out here now.
So, yeah.
But
that's right.
Yeah.
So, and also you've got Russell Wilson, your keeper, probably your keeper quarterback. I'd imagine you'll keep him over Stafford, I think. Stats kind of down last year a little bit, but huge efficiency in the TD rates and kind of wondering, can he keep that up? You know, who's he going to throw to? Doug Baldwin's kind of sick all the time, injured. So who's he got?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I got him in that trade last year where I gave up my first rounder for him and Freeman, and I thought it was a good trade at the time. But then, you know, Freeman got hurt, or maybe Freeman was hurt, and I don't remember how that shook out. But then Wilson, you know, he seems like a top-tier quarterback, but God, now there's so many quarterbacks out there. I feel like,
yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
Didn't get a lot of value, I think, out of that trade.
Yeah,
the truth.
Yeah, he got some strength at running back too with Fournette if he can keep his act together. You know, Freeman, who you traded for, and now Tevin Coleman, who looks like he might be a contender in the San Francisco backfield. So you might have some decisions to make there too.
Yeah. I feel like I've got a lot of depth in my team, which doesn't really help in the league setup that we have, since you can only keep two players. But I've got some options.
Right.
Some
yeah, it seems like Freeman and Fournette make a lot of. I mean, that's 2 years ago. That's an amazing couple of guys to have at running back, and there's no reason they couldn't bounce back. So that seems strong. And Antonio, who knows how he'll be at wide receiver, but and then between Woods and Landry, I don't know. I think it's looking pretty good for you with Wilson and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, both with Antonio Brown and also Leonard Fournette. Yeah, they're kind of question marks. I mean, you know, I think they have a lot of potential. I mean, I think maybe they have potential to be the two best at those positions in the league. But of course, they have issues that could make it go the other way too.
Yeah, just ignore how Randy Moss and Jordy Nelson did going as a Raider. Just ignore that; you'll be fine.
I think both of them basically retire after being on that team.
Well, they went. Well, yeah. Moss went to the Patriots.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right. He might have been there. But Jordy just retired today, so
oh, he did. I didn't know that.
So he's done. Looks like you might have an opportunity at tight end too. So maybe you want to take one of those wide receivers and or running backs and turn it into some sort of tight end keeper. Just don't make it Gronk. So.
Yeah.
So
you know, the one thing I always like having on a team, just in any fantasy league, is a good tight end. And it really bugs me that I don't have, you know, any kind of quality tight end right now. So yeah, any other owners out there listening, I'm up for some wheeling and dealing.
Were you the Tony Gonzalez owner for years?
No. I think that was talking about your Skittles.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Kind of the last thing I wanted to talk about here was the one trade that you made. So Wet Bandits was obviously involved, because he was involved in all the trades last year. He sent Chris Thompson, Derek Carr, or you sent Tris Thompson, Derek Carr in the 109, your first round pick for Russell Wilson and Devontae Freeman, which, you know, coming into the last year probably looked a little suspicious, but, you know, coming into this year, you're probably feeling not so bad about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'd rather, if I could undo that trade, I'd probably have my first round.
You can disagree with me. It's totally fine.
Yeah. So if Wet Bandits is listening, if you want to do kind of a...
the undo deal. Craig, get on that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's kind of the basics of your team. Brian, I know you got a couple of questions.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, I looked at your the fab budget, and it looked like you spent the most on Vance McDonald, and then you had about $68 left over, which was, I think, third highest. I was just wondering, did you just try to save it for the end and then nothing really panned out, or did you lose some bids, or just wondering what the strategy was there?
It was pure laziness to leave that money on the table. No, you know, this is the first, is this the first or second year?
I think it's the first, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the first year.
With the budget. Yeah. So I didn't quite know what the right strategy was. You know, I should have, I don't know. I mean, I should ask you guys. I mean, because you guys have played this way before. I mean, is your strategy, I suppose I could look it up on the league site, but to kind of spend that money early or to leave some on the table for a big free agent at the end? I mean, what do you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, I like to keep some money around. Because you never know. At the end of the year, I tried to get, gosh, who was it? That was pretty nice pickup at the end of the year. I lost out on that guy, and then I ended up getting
the Steelers running back / tight end that Steve got.
That guy. Can't remember his name now. Yeah. and then I think I ended up spending the rest of my fab in like week 13 or something like that on Justin Jackson. So I can't say that the strategy I used was very good either. It didn't help my team. Uh-huh. Spent like $75 on that guy. But I'm not sure that I'm one of the best ones to ask.
I would say I'm constantly making moves and they're not always good. And I'll, you know, I used to have Antonio Brown on my team. I'm like, he sucks. I'll drop him when he was a rookie and oops, you know? And so for me, I try to look at, you know, like what other sites say you should bid. And then if I like them more, I'll bid a little more. If I like them less, I'll bid a little less. That's kind of what I try to do. But you know, if someone goes down with injury in a game and then you got the backup coming up for a free agent bidding and just, I don't know, that's the hard part. Try to figure out how to bid and what to bid for them. But it's also the fun part.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there was a lot of controversy and discussion about going this way, but I have to say, I enjoyed the bidding. I was one of the ones who voted no on it, but you know, now that I kind of get it, I think I know how to spend, you know, I'll not leave $68 on the table next year. And
yeah, it takes some getting used to, but it definitely is, in my opinion, is more fair and provides a little bit more kind of strategy and fun into it. So we'll see. Maybe it'll get voted out at some day again. Who knows? that's okay too. Yeah. At least you tried it.
Yeah.
The only thing I had was thank you, Eric, for asking my question last week when gone. But Nick, can you think of any most regrettable drop or trade you've had? And then conversely, your luckiest or maybe your favorite ad or trade you've had?
Well, my favorite ad or trade, and oh my God, I'm trying to remember who it was. I know I really hosed Rainier on a trade. And it was whoever the hotshot running back for the Chiefs was.
Jamal Charles.
Priest Holmes, yeah.
And I somehow got him from Rainier, who's talking about your Skittles, for a retiring wide receiver. And it was beyond, at the time, you know, all these names mean nothing now, you know. It's Keyshawn Johnson.
Wow. Nice.
And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, Keyshawn's maybe a Hall of Famer now, but at the time, it was devastating to Rainier. He gave away an A-list guy for really nothing. So that was one of my proudest moments. most regrettable moment. Oh boy. Well, I don't know if it's regrettable. Most heartbreaking moment. You know, I'm an owner who has not won a TCFL championship, regrettably. And I don't even consider myself like a Dan Marino, who's like, you know, had an illustrious career and not won a championship. I just, you know, I've been pretty mediocre. But I really had a chance one season, and it was the most heartbreaking loss. It was the championship game. And I remember Hines Ward was playing Monday Night Football, and he had to catch basically a 20-yard pass in order for me to win. And he caught that 20-yard pass. And I was jumping up and down. I was watching the game with Rainier. I was back in Redwood, and it was great. I was going to have a championship and win some money. And then they called the play back. It was often, I don't know, some offensive interference or hold later or something. You couldn't have scripted it as a worse loss. So, nice. Yeah. You know, that remains my highest finish.
I've got that here. It was 2011 was the year. And you lost to whoever was the owner at the time of, I think, Midwest Martial Arts Monkeys or something to that effect. That's one of the Dowling.
I think that's brothers. Brad.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate.
Wow, heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll get back in there again this year.
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool. So it was awesome having you on, Nick. Good talking to you. Is there anything else you want to plug?
I want to plug.
You got to learn how to do this now. You're going to be on media, so you could practice here.
I know. Jeez. You cut me some slack, guys. This is only my second media stop, but I'd like to plug the next 8 episodes of Prince of Peoria. They're going to be dropping on May 17th. I think the show hit its stride. I think it's they're stronger than the first batch of episodes. I think if there's any justice in the world, they'll get even more Emmy nominations than this first batch, and I'm really proud of them. So keep an eye out for those. Excellent.
Well, thanks.
That's
Nick.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. Congrats on everything.
Yeah, it was very good talking to you. Again, wish you continued success in everything that you do. Except for the TCFL, so yeah.
All right. Great talking to you guys, and I'll see you
next time. All right. Thanks.
Thanks for joining. All right. Later. Thanks again, Nick. Thanks for joining Zilla Farilla and myself to talk about your team. It was a lot of fun. Good talking to you, learning about what you're doing. Thanks for plugging some of your episodes on Netflix. Remember, go out there, Prince of Peoria, Netflix, watch it. Again, you can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, a bunch of other ones. Subscribe, rate and review, as all of them say. Not that you have to. There's only one out there. And you can reach the podcast at the TCFL podcast on Twitter. At Eric Toft, that's me. At Toft Brian. I don't think Nick has a Twitter account, so at least I couldn't find one. Maybe it's hidden. Maybe it's a green check mark. I don't know. Blue check mark. Whatever it is. Anyway, good talking to you, Nick, and thanks for coming on. Stay tuned for the next one. Probably in a couple weeks. Later, guys.